John 1st chapter, chapter 8, prayers by Queen Kunti, text number 44.
Sutuvacha, Satyam Kalpadai, Aluta Kidodaya, Vandam Jahas Pai Kunjo,
that smile was as enchanting as his mystic power.
Therefore, cleanse the hungry, seek to be the understanding of God.
Anything that is enchanted in the world is said to be a representation of the Lord. The conditioned souls who are engaged in trying to avoid the open material world are also enchanted by his mystic power, but his devotees are enchanted in a different way by the glories of the Lord, and his merciful blessings are upon them. His energy is displayed in different ways, as electrical energy works in manifold capacities. Srimati Kunti Devi has prayed to the Lord just to enumerate a fragment of his glory. All of his devotees worship in that way by chosen words, and therefore the Lord is known as Uttama Shloka. No amount of chosen words is sufficient to enumerate the Lord's glories, and yet he is satisfied by such prayers, as the Father is satisfied even by the broken linguistic attempts of the growing child. The word Maya is used both in the sense of delusion and mercy. Here in the word Maya is used in the sense of the Lord's mercy upon Kunti Devi. Sutra Vacha, Pratyetam Kalapadai, Palimutta Kibodaya, Mandam Jahasa Vaikato, Vohanam Kumaya. So the Lord is Uttama Shloka, one who is described and glorified by choice poetry, and he inspires the devotees to glorify him very nicely. There are many examples of persons who ordinarily would not be expected to be able to speak in very eloquent terms about the Lord, but they were able to by the grace of the Lord. Guru Maharaj was just a child, but when he received the blessings of the Lord, he was able to speak very nicely. Gajendra was an elephant, but still, by the mercy of the Lord, he was able to recite very beautiful Vedic hymns for glorifying the Lord. Mukham Kuroti Vacham. Even if one is dumb, cannot speak, by the Mukham Kuroti Vacham Pangam Nandai Devim Vatam Mahamade Shivam Vimitara, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, one can speak eloquent words. And we see that when the devotees glorify the Lord, they are known as kavi, or poetic. They can speak very poetically. Sometimes Lord Shiva, or sometimes Lord Chaitanya, in glorifying his devotees also, it is said he spoke as if he had five mouths. This enthusiasm to glorify Sankirtan is a characteristic of the devotees, and it's also a characteristic of the Lord, that he likes to glorify his devotees, and the devotees like to glorify him. This is love, based on loving appreciation. But the non-devotees cannot glorify the Lord. For example, the Mayavadis, they're not devotees. They're in the non-devotee category. So the Mayavadis, what can they say about the glories of the Lord? Arupa, he has no form, he has no name, he has no characteristics. This is Brahman, big Brahman, that's all. That's all they can say. And therefore, they cannot appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the beautiful stoic personality of Godhead. But they prefer the Vedanta Sutra because there's no apparently direct glorification of the Lord. The personal qualities of the Lord. Of course, it is true that the Lord has so many characteristics. He is Brahman, Sarvam Kalpitam Brahman. Everything is Brahman, and Brahmanohi Pratishtha. He is the source of that Brahman. The Brahman is effulgence, and everything, including this material world, is a manifestation of Brahman, his energy. But still, although everything in one sense is himself through the expansion of his energy, Maya Tatamidam Sarvam Jagadavyamacharya. But still, he's manifest everywhere through his impersonal energy, but he's separate. He's a person. He's always a person. This is stated in Isha Upanishad. That even though he's the complete whole, Om Purnam Adak Purnamidam, and so many complete units are emanations from him, Jatnam Jasirataha, everything emanates from him, still, he's originally a person. The Swayam Bhagavan, Jatnam Jasirataha, he's the source. So what is that source? What is the nature of the source? The source is a person. He is Vasudeva, the son of Vasudeva. He is the Krishna. Srila Vyasadeva is fully aware of the position of Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan. And he is exclaiming that Krishna, the son of Devaki, and Vasudeva, is that original person, who's the original Bhagavan, and Lord Brahma says, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Nigraha, Anadi Adya Govinda, Sarva Karna Karna. He's the cause of all causes. We see that Ananta was thousands of mouth has been glorifying the Lord since time immemorial, and he's never run out of glories because the glories of the Lord are inexhaustible. There's no limit. Everything he does is glorious. And one who meditates, one who considers everything that Krishna does, whether Krishna is performing his pastimes in the form of Krishna, or in his expansions, his Vishnu Tattva expansions, his Leela avatars, his Guna avatars, Manvantara avatars, they're all glorious. Even his incarnations where he empowers a jiva, they're also glorious, unlimitedly, because it is an expansion of Krishna. And for the materialist, they cannot appreciate the Lord. If you speak to them, would you like to hear something about the Supreme Personality of God and His glories? They say, no, not interested. I don't believe in God. But they like to glorify God's creation, different aspects. The scientists are very captivated. That word is used here, Mohayana. They're captivated by the Lord's external manifestation in the form of this material world. They're captivated by the universe, how vast it is, how many millions of stars, and they're captivated by how precise the universe functions. It is very precise. You can calculate ahead of time when the sun will rise on which particular day. You can calculate when there will be eclipses. Another group of materialists, astrology is a material science, but through astrology you can also see another amazing feature of the Lord, how everything is designed and being controlled under the direction of the demigods. And the demigods are his very insignificant parts and parcels, but they're managing so expertly. This is the sign of a great manager. Everyone likes to read books on how to become successful managers. Why not read about how Krishna manages? He's doing everything, but he's not directly involved. He's simply playing his flute and enchanting the gopis and the gopas of Vrindavan and all the birds and everyone in Vrindavan is enchanted by Krishna. But that same Krishna, is controlling everything. Ishvara Parama Krishna, he's controlling all the universes. Jagadananda Koti, he's manifesting millions of universes in one of his kala, his portion of a portion of his expansion. He's manifesting the material world, and he's maintaining it as Shiro Dakasha Vishnu. But he himself is free to simply enjoy the personal relationship with his devotees. Depending on the level of realization, one glorifies the Lord in different ways. Those who are bewildered by the external energy, or captivated by the external energy, they indirectly glorify him by saying how nice this material world is, by appreciating the inconceivability, like they're trying to create life in the test tube scientists. But they find it too complicated, too sophisticated, the technology they haven't been able to cover. So indirectly they have to admit that nature, although they don't like to admit that it's God, a person, but indirectly the nature is so sophisticated that they can't figure it out. That's also a qualification. But indirectly, it's like when Shishupal was a great blasphemer of the Lord. It was almost as if he was, his whole life was simply blasphemy of Krishna. But even though he could blaspheme the Lord in choice poetry, the goddess of learning, Saraswati, she would use his words to offer her prayers to the Lord. Because whatever you say about the Lord, even if you want to criticize him and say he's such a woman hunter, how could he have so many girlfriends? Yeah. He was living in Vrindavan, he was associated with all these unmarried girls. So, what a terrible thing. But then again, what a wonderful thing. Who else in the history has been able to do such things and get away with it? He danced with so many others' wives, but he never got chastised. We don't hear of any of the husbands coming and taking a stick and beating Krishna. No punishment. And not only that, But he's still glorified. 5,000 years later, those same pastimes are being praised. You have the Vrindavan. Not only is he praised, but he's worshipped for those activities. Oh, even if you say, and then he left Vrindavan and then he got married, but he didn't just get married to one or two wives. He had to marry 16,000 wives. He was so lusty. Even if you say he was lusty, he's unlimitedly lusty. If you say he's a thief, then he can steal everything. He steals everything. He takes away everyone's life. He takes away all the universes. He steals them back. Whatever description one wants to give of Krishna, he can do that, and he's unlimitedly that. He's unlimitedly the enjoyer, unlimitedly the thief. You say, well, he's a killer. Yes, he's a serial killer number one. He kills everyone in order, one after the other, after the other, after the other. They're all being killed by the supreme serial killer. And the supreme lover. And everything supreme. Even if you want to chastise him, it will become a glorification. That's why Srila Prabhupada never became disturbed when they would read the newspapers to him. There would be some article about the Hare Krishna movement. Because if they mentioned Hare Krishna, or they mentioned Krishna, then automatically they would benefit. And all the people hearing, they would know. Krishna is so powerful that anyone who comes in contact with him becomes Krishnaized, becomes purified. Look at Kamsa. Kamsa hated Krishna. He wanted to kill Krishna. He was afraid of Krishna. He was having horrible nightmares every night. He couldn't stop thinking of Krishna. Krishna was going to come and kill him. But ultimately he became purified by that thinking of Krishna. Even if one thinks of Krishna in a negative way, he will become purified because Krishna is the supreme pure. He's like the sun, prophylactic. The sun can purify even the filthy place, stool and urine. He extracts the liquid and purifies that place and that substance, but he never becomes contaminated. Apapavidam. He's the supreme pure. And just as when one puts an iron rod into fire, the iron rod, by associating with fire, becomes like fire. Ultimately becomes fire. In the same way, by associating with Krishna through his name, through his form, through his pastimes, through his instructions, through his service, through his devotees, his prasad, anyway, one will become a bhakta, a Krishna bhakta. He'll become purified. And depending on how carefully one associates with the Lord, if he follows the proper instructions as given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the guidebook or the handbook for devotional service, then the attraction for Krishna will develop very quickly. Right now we are covered by material dirt, by rust and dust, and like rust, like a piece of iron, when it is left in water it becomes rusty. And when it's rusty, it's not attracted by a magnet because of the cover. But when the rust is cleared off, then that original attraction to the magnet takes place. Similarly, when our coverings of kama, lobha, krodha, moha, vatsarya, when these material coverings of dust and rust are removed, then our natural attraction for Krishna takes place. Krishna, the living entity, is by nature, originally, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, Sadhu Kabanoi, Shravanadi Shuddha Chitti, Kore Udor. Everyone is by nature a devotee of Krishna. He's the original, supreme magnet, Karshati. He's Krish. He's all attractive. Not just attractive for a certain group, but for everyone. Not only living entities are attracted to Krishna, even non-living entities. We see that when Krishna plays his flute, all the residents of Vrindavan, even inanimate objects, and here in this material world, we may say that this particular object is not conscious, but Krishna can make it conscious. He's the supreme magician, Maya, by his mystic power, everything can become conscious or unconscious. And he can turn matter into spirit and spirit into matter. Because for him, there is no distinction. The example is given that for the governor, the prison is as good as the school, maintaining a prison. For some, it may be considered a very bad thing. But for the government, they give just as much energy into maintaining the prison and the police department. And the police department is being very harsh. But it's just as good for the government. Here it says that the Jahasa, Mantam Jahasa, is mildly smiled. That means he accepted all the prayers of Kunti as perfect. This is the perfection. She offered her prayers and the Lord accepted them. And he reciprocates by his mild smiling. But that mild smiling, there's no one who could smile like Lord Krishna. In the material world, we appreciate a person who has a nice smile, $1 million smile. But Krishna's smile is unlimitedly captivating. And the devotees never become tired of seeing his smile. In the material world, we may appreciate someone's smile for a while, but after some time it becomes old. And if we analyze what that smile is, it's just some teeth which are kind of like stones, and some lips made of some bile, mucus, and air. Combination of molecules. And what is it? If we analyze the smile, pretty soon it becomes very insignificant. But Krishna's smile is not made of matter, it's spiritual, satchitananda. And it's unlimitedly attractive. We simply have to allow ourselves to see the smile of the Lord. It is said that if one sees the smiling face of the Lord, that is the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There are 9 cantos that prepare one. When one approaches the Lord, he first is supposed to look at the lotus feet and then gradually rising up to the lotus calves and the lotus knees and the lotus thighs and the lotus waist. And step by step, then he comes to the lotus smiling face of the Lord. 10th canto. So in the same way, it is not recommended by the acharyas to try to go immediately to the pastimes of Krishna. But first one should understand the Lord's lotus feet and how he's acting in creation and what his position is. Then one will be able to properly understand the smiling face of the Lord. And a nice thing about Krishna is that one can pick any quality of Krishna and he can go on glorifying that quality. There's no limit. And the more he glorifies that quality or any quality of Krishna, he'll become inspired and he'll become happy. Glorifying Krishna brings happiness. That's why Sankirtan is so pleasing. Sankirtan, the complete glorification of the Lord, is so wonderful. The more we glorify Krishna, the more happy we become. Anandam Burivardhanam, unlimited ocean, expanding pleasure. Sri Krishna Sankirtan. And Vidyavaru Jivanam, the transcendental knowledge is included. If one glorifies Krishna, he'll get transcendental knowledge, he'll get transcendental bliss, he'll get everything. We should all get in the habit of glorifying Krishna, chanting his name, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vishnu Parasim. And the nature of one who's captivated by Krishna's personal form is that by his association others become attracted to Krishna also. Like Srila Prabhupada. One person, he was so attracted to Krishna, but wherever he went, he attracted others to Krishna. And that attraction to Krishna means attraction to pure devotional service. Kevala Bhakti. Pure devotional service. That's the test. If one can attract others to pure devotional service, then we understand this is one symptom of a pure devotee, of an uttama adhikari, that he can bring many others into pure devotional service. And bringing them into pure devotional service means he also educates them, trains them, how to avoid the offenses which will interfere with pure devotional service. He teaches them how to avoid doing things that will be displeasing to Krishna, so that Krishna will continue to bestow his transcendental smile on the devotees eternally. Thank you very much. Now, if there are any questions, try to answer. Yes. Thank you. other questions? All right, thank you very much. Shiva Bhagavatam Ki Jai.